I'm Pamela Powell for Fet Lifestyle Magazine. Popeye was one of the opening night films at Sundance this year. The film is a road trip movie set in Thailand about a man and his elephant. Yes, you heard that right. This successful and aging man sets off on a journey to return a familiar elephant to his rightful home. It's a cinematically beautiful film with a rich and engaging story. I had the opportunity to sit down with Kristen Tan, the writer and director, and one of the producers to talk about the making of this unusual yet relatable film. If you think working with dogs or cats in a movie is tough, wait till you hear about working with a full-grown elephant. And then there's almost the entire cast comprised of non-actors. Stay tuned and hear all of these hilarious behind-the-scenes stories. I loved the movie. Very unusual perspective. I loved the fact that it was a middle-aged man going through a crisis, if you will.
Right.
And I could identify with so many different aspects of it, even though it was a male, which was kind of cool. And then, you know, as I'm reading the notes, I find out that a woman wrote this, which is really amazing. I love to see when a man can write from a woman's voice and vice versa. Tell me about taking on that character, why you chose a man instead of a woman, and how you were able to get inside the mind of him.
I mean, for me, because I'm just, as I was writing it, I did question myself too, why don't I write like a female character? But I was just thinking all through the history of cinema, like, you know, male directors, they write about women, they write about talking animals in cartoons, they write about aliens, so why can't a woman write about a man?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it that way before.
And I'm just thinking, like, I mean, as a filmmaker, right, like, the most important thing, I think, to have is empathy as well. Yeah, so it was really just putting myself into different shoes of different characters to just kind of imagine and live their life in my head and to see what that's like. And I think there's a kind of universality in the human experience across, like, genders even. Okay. Yeah, and for me, I'm just like, it's really pretty easy actually to get into his shoes, because there are characters like that in our lives, like, and there are so many of them. Like, I look at my father, for example, and he's kind of like, I wouldn't say the character is based on him, but, you know, he's a man of a certain age, and I see him, like, still trying really hard to be relevant in his job and to, like, you know, be mindful of his health, because he's hit a certain age. So for me, it's just really observing, I guess, like, different people around me, and to just, like, pick pieces of their lives and to just create this character. Yeah, and honestly, it wasn't so hard.
Well, the way you describe it, it sounds like actually a lot of fun.
It is.
To take on somebody else's personality.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah, I mean, it would be so boring if I could only make films about females of a certain age.
Right.
Yeah, of my age, you know?
It would get old after a while.
Yeah.
Did your father see the film?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet.
I'm curious to see
if he
sits back and he thinks, okay, that's me.
Yeah.
You'll have to let me know, okay?
Okay, I'll let you know.
So why did you pick an elephant? Because I equated it when I first saw it, and I've written a few things about it. I'm like, you know, boy and his dog, this is a typical kind of story about a boy and his dog, but it's a man and his elephant.
So tell me why
you chose an elephant.
Yeah. I think it's based, because I lived in Thailand for 2 years, about 10 years ago, and it's just really based on, like, life I see in the streets of Thailand. And literally 10 years ago, I saw, like, a couple of elephants in the city itself, kind of begging and just, I guess...
Elephants were begging?
Yeah. Like, there's, like, it's kind of based in on what really happens, like, on from what I saw 10 years ago. But, like, there were street elephants just kind of, like, going around doing, like, tricks for tourists, and kind of, like, and tourists would be buying bananas for the elephant, and that's how the handlers kind of make money off of that. So it's really based on what I saw.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess the whole feeling of the film is really inspired by this encounter. I was filming by a beach once while I was still living in Thailand, and there I saw, like, this group of boys literally pulling an elephant to sea to kind of shower the elephant.
Right.
It was a group of village boys, and they seemed to be having so much fun, and, like, they looked so happy doing that. I mean, they were making a lot of noise. I was filming at that time, actually. So our filming had to stop, you know, for those group of boys to finish what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I was just looking at them, and they looked so happy.
Yeah.
You know, it's pure, unbridled joy. Yeah, and suddenly, strangely enough, I felt this feeling of loss. Like, I can never go back there again, you know, as an adult. Like, you know, like, we just don't let go completely like that.
We don't.
Yeah. Like, there are always checks. Oh, am I having too much fun? Am I doing this? Like, so there are so many considerations.
Right.
And at that point, weirdly, like, I felt this feeling of lost innocence, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, even if I wanted to go back there, it would be difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that feeling kind of stayed with me all these years. And when I was doing my first feature film, that image just came back in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I started penning the script kind of based off of that feeling.
That's a beautiful description. You're right. We don't let go. And
yeah, we don't let go.
Truly enjoy. We've always got those back.
We have all these
like
considerations.
This
yeah.
now. What's next?
Yeah.
Or what's somebody going to think if I do this? You know.
Yeah, for sure.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
How was it working with the elephant?
It was tough. I mean, you know everything about like what they say about shooting with animals.
Yeah.
And this one's a big one.
It's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, the elephant himself is super smart. His name is Bong.
Okay.
I feel like he's probably like a bit of a genius.
Okay.
Like, personally to him, like, I loved him. But the logistics of working with him is like a nightmare. We had to get so many permits. We had to have so many, like, elephant handlers on set.
Right.
You know, because we had so many elephant handlers, so the assistant directing team became bigger as well.
Okay.
And because it's also a road movie, you know, and when you have like an elephant walking on the road,
right,
you had to have like a ton of location people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just planted all around. So then the shoot became very big as well.
Okay.
Yeah, because of the number of crew that had to be involved because of the elephant. So then everything started to have to get really precise and planned.
Okay.
Because there's no, oh, let's experiment and do this. Because, you know, once there's an elephant on the street,
uh-uh,
we had to be like super careful and precise.
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
come on, let's do it quickly. Yeah.
So I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So even getting a location itself is like really tough. Like, you've watched the film, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
There's the scene of the elephant being in the house.
Yeah.
We took months.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we took months looking for the house. Yeah.
And who let you do that?
Okay, so in the end, that's a funny story in itself. Like, it's a little dark. So the eventual house we found, okay, this is a little strange, but a murder took place in there.
Oh.
Yeah, so then, like, you know, like, I guess the property owner...
The whole family was murdered.
Yeah, the whole family was murdered in the house. Yeah. So, but because of that, like, they weren't precious about the house at all.
Right.
So they're like, okay, fine, you want an elephant in there, go for it.
It's like a vacant house.
It was passed down to extended family.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so the house was empty. So we had to, like, our production designer had to come furnish the house a little.
Okay.
And we even had to deconstruct the sliding door because the one originally was too low for the elephant to walk in. So we had to rebuild like the sliding door to make it higher.
Right.
And after filming was done, we had to rebuild it again to make it back to... So, like, yeah, the logistics of this film was, like, too much to bear.
I'm sure, because you probably didn't think about all these different logistics when you were writing the film.
No, and then you were probably thinking, why didn't
I think a baby elephant?
Oh, yeah, we actually had a baby elephant on a shoot as well.
Like, oh, you did?
And the... One of the last scenes when he was, when he had a flashback to his childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but working with a baby elephant is tough too.
Well, they're not as mindful then.
Yeah. Because they're not as smart, you know. Like,
right?
Like, you think of working with children, and now you think of working with a baby elephant.
Yeah.
Same
difference.
It's like animal
then, right?
Times child.
No thanks.
Yeah. Completely uncontrollable. It's like the weather. You just let it do what it wants and you just film it.
Right. And hopefully you catch what you need to put it
exactly,
right,
exactly,
with editing.
Yeah.
How old is the elephant?
He's 21.
Okay. Is that old for an elephant or is that
middle-aged? No. It's pretty young for an elephant.
Oh, is it?
I wanted to find like an age-appropriate elephant, which would mean an elephant in the 60s.
Oh.
But they all tell me that like an old elephant is really hard to work with.
Okay.
Yeah. Because
they get stubborn like old people, right?
Exactly. They're stubborn. They have a mind of their own. They don't want to do things.
Right.
They get tired.
Okay.
Yeah. So we found a young elephant kind of like to pass off as a... Yeah, it's a 60-year-old elephant.
Now, your main character, tell me his name.
His Tana.
Okay.
His architect with a midlife crisis.
And when he auditioned for the role, what did he think about playing the role with an elephant? What was his...
It was really interesting because he didn't audition for the role.
Oh.
I mean, he did eventually come down for an audition, but we actually found him
first.
He's a non-actor.
Oh,
almost
my gosh.
Every single person in the film is a non-actor, minus the wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the wife was wonderful too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone was a non-professional, actually. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And for him, we found him because he used to be a super famous, like, Thai rock star in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He was the one that basically brought, like, progressive rock and industrial rock to Thailand.
Oh, my God.
He was a pioneer.
He was a pioneer in, like, the forefront. Like, he's, like, like super, like, idolized and worshipped in Thailand in the 70s.
Wow.
But for some reason, at the height of his fame, he dropped out completely from the scene.
Okay.
Maybe it got too much for him, I don't know, but for some reason he just disappeared for the next 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, but when we started to cast for the role and we couldn't find our actor, and someone, like a friend, suggested him because in some ways his life, there's a certain there's a certain parallel to the character. And actually when we contacted him, it was really interesting because he was trying to do a comeback concert. Like, he was like this old guy in his 50s and he was trying to, like, make a comeback again, but for some reason the concert did not work out.
It fell through.
So then at that point he really fitted the role, you know. Everything that was going through was exactly what the character was going through. Yeah,
that must have been an emotional catharsis for him to be able to play this role.
Yeah, and I think he recognized that too.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he, once he found this project, once he heard about it, he was really committed, I think.
Very good. I mean, to, I thought you were going to say he was this renowned, and I thought you were going to say architect, you know, because he does look like he is easily an architect. You have guessed a rock and roll kind of guy.
Yeah, you know, he had long hair in his youth.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah. He was really, really cool. He was really out there.
No, actually, when we first met him, he was slim, and he was still cool.
Yeah, he's still pretty cool. But
Kristen,
yeah, but I made him, like, put on some weight, you know.
Oh, you
for the
did?
Role.
Yeah.
Because he was just so fit and so good looking when we first found him.
Ah.
And he was okay with that, but his wife wasn't really okay with that.
I'm sure she
wasn't. But he was, he really wanted to do it well, and he kind of agreed with us. I mean, he did realize that, like, the character is a bit of an anti-hero, a bit of, like, a social reject.
Right.
Yeah, and so with more body weight, he would feel, like, more awkward with himself. And,
okay.
And he recognized that, too, and so he was pretty game to put on weight.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good. Now,
yeah.
tell me a little bit about your role. How did you come out as producer and what you did with the film?
Okay. Before we did the, Popeye, we worked on a short together.
Okay.
We were working on her NYU thesis film, and then after that, which that film had a parrot, which was a lot easier to work with.
A little more manageable,
yeah,
right?
A little bit more manageable. So I remember when we were working on that film, because, I mean, that film was pretty stressful as well for different reasons.
Sure.
And then while we were doing that, she was writing this, and it kind of steamrolled one after another. So after that film, she got into the Berlinale Talent Script Station, and then from there she got into Torino Film Lab. And I guess because we didn't kill each other from that film, I think we kind of work off each other quite well.
Right.
We have a nice sort of about we play off each other quite well, so
okay.
we just continue the sort of relationship. Like,
yeah, he compliments me really well, like, because I'm a pretty far out person, you know. Like, I think what's strong about me as a filmmaker is that I'm super imaginative, super random,
right.
whatever. But, you know, a person like that needs to be grounded.
Right.
Yeah.
You
so
need
to be on top of stuff. Yeah.
Then how did you find the other actors that, since they were not professional actors, did you just, like, you're hanging out
in
the street or friends?
Or? I think for us, we wanted, like, real people. We wanted non-professional because it's a rote film,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes if you get, like, really, like, polished actors, sometimes the authenticity doesn't come through.
Right.
You know, you need characters to kind of fit the milieu, to fit the setting of the place.
Right.
So then we went in kind of thinking that we wanted non-professionals. And then so our casting manager...
casting
directors, yeah. They went to, like, different parts of town to look for specific characters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would kind of fit, like, what existed in the film.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot of street casting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mostly it was street casting, and they even, like, found people
through
like Facebook, social media.
Facebook, and
they just, it was a lot
that
of cold
so
calling.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
a lot
that's,
of cold calling.
Fantastic.
Really, like, finding a diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because even if you found someone that fit the look, like, maybe they weren't, like, natural performers.
Right.
So then, like, you know, there was a lot of, like, scout, like finding and searching before we managed to cast like a, I think 20 people.
And there's a lot of people in the film.
And
finding people that were willing to commit to the time, you know, because it was a road trip film. So if they were based in, let's say, Bangkok or somewhere else, we would have to bring them over. They would have to take time off of their job.
Because they have real life. Tell me about the guy that plays the kind of homeless guy.
The character in the film is actually based on a real beggar I saw off the street.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was literally wearing that sign on the chest that was saying, "Oh, I'm a fortune teller." Like, And yeah, the actor playing it, like, I don't think he was really performing too much. That was really kind of how he is as a person. Yeah, he's a little kooky, like he's a little like spacey. And it's really interesting because in real life he's a lift operator, like he operates like
like a forklift kind of thing.
I think it's more like elevator.
British English.
But then he also has an interest in theater. Yeah, and so I think my casting guys like found him through theatre as well. Like, but at the same time, the kind of theatre he does is very experimental. Like, it's not scripted. Like, he's just thrown on stage and he kind of like improvises. Right. Yeah, he's like he truly is kind of like a force of nature. Like, it's really hard to pin him down. So when he got his lines right, everyone was so impressed, because usually like he doesn't get his lines right. But for this role, I think because it fit him so well.
Right.
Yeah. So like it just felt like it was just coming out of him.
That's an amazing story.
That's just
fantastic. Well, thank you both so much. It was an absolute pleasure. I cannot wait to see what you're going to be working on next.
Thank you.
You take care. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Great to meet you.
I hope you enjoyed hearing about the making of Popeye by writer and director Kristen Tan. Watch for updates and release dates on realhonestreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, honestreviews.com. I'm Pamela Powell for Fet Lifestyle Magazine.